Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's bow together in prayer. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we draw near to the throne of heavenly grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, thy dear Son and our beloved Saviour. We thank thee for this tremendous theme that we've been singing together, that we're only a sinner saved by grace. We do praise thee for the triumph of divine grace in our lives, for that day when the Lord met us, worked effectually in us, and drew us to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will bless this time together as we worship the Lord, as we seek to exalt his precious name, and as we come later to the hearing of your word. We pray that thou wilt still our hearts in your presence and speak to us. Remember the Reverend Abram as he comes to break the bread of life. May he know that endowment of power from on high, the Spirit of God working in him and through him as he brings the message today. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. And may Christ our Saviour be exalted and magnified, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're turning in the Word of God to the Psalm 40. Let's read the Word of God together. Psalm 40, reading from verse 1 through to 5. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to every heart. We're going to join together in the singing of a beautiful hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And we're going to stand to sing.
want to thank the Reverend Park for leading the service for us thus far. We're turning in God's Word to Psalm 40. I want to read with you again the second and the third verse. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Many, many times the Lord has been pleased to speak through the words of personal testimony. Indeed, I'm sure that many of us ourselves can look back to times when we were challenged as we have listened to what the Lord has done in and through the lives of others. In the scriptures of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul acknowledged the value of personal words of testimony, for on two occasions, in Acts chapter 22 and also in Acts chapter 24, the Apostle Paul stood up and told how the Lord called him and saved him on the Damascus road. But also in the Old Testament scriptures, we have the personal testimony here of King David, who was the man after God's own heart. David was the kind of man who would have loved to tell others what the Lord had done for him in his life. We can almost hear David calling his friends and those whom he met and saying to them, "Come here and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me." You know, sometimes when we are trying to witness to someone, it would perhaps be better to tell them what the Lord has done for us in our lives rather than trying to preach to them. People don't like being preached at, but people love to hear someone's story. And so, share your testimony. Tell others what the Lord has done for you. That's what David would have done. And he would have called his friends and he'd have told them, "I was in a pit of sin. I was sinking down into the miry clay. I was going down to destruction. I was heading towards death. Neither could I help myself. I couldn't get out of that pit. I couldn't escape from the miry clay. I couldn't help myself. But the Lord came, and when I called upon him, he reached down and he saved me. It was the Lord who lifted me out of the miry clay. It was the Lord who delivered me out of the pit of sin. And he has set my feet upon a rock. He has set my feet upon a solid rock. And he has put a new song in my mouth. And life is so much better now." That was David's testimony. And then he told the people that were listening. He said, "Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust." And so today I want us to consider David's testimony and what the Lord had give to him. And firstly, we see that the Lord gave him healing. I'm not thinking about physical healing, but I do believe that the Lord can heal. And I do believe the Lord does heal according to his will. I believe in divine healing, but not so much in modern day divine healers. But God has his prescribed way of healing. In James chapter 5, in the verses 14 and 15, we read, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." That's physical healing as prescribed by God in his word. That is God's way of physical healing. But the healing which I'm speaking of here with regards David is not the healing of the body. Rather, it is the healing of the soul. You see, every one of us is born with enough sin to condemn us. It's called original sin. That is the sin of Adam, which has been passed down to us by birth through our fathers. And so we are sinners by birth, and therefore condemned from the cradle, condemned by sin. The psalmist said, "Behold, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity." But even if we had never been born with sin, Say we had been born without sin, without that original sin. Still, every one of us are sinners by practice. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and the verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Earlier in that same chapter, in Romans chapter 3 and the verse 10, it says there is none righteous, no, not one. And so according to God's word, we are sinners by birth and we are sinners by practice. And so we can say we have original sin. And to that we have actual sin. And sadly, we are sinners in God's eyes. And no matter where we look at in the Bible, sin is looked upon as a disease. We think of the disease of leprosy. It's a picture of sin. And so sin, we can say, is it a disease with terrible consequences. Sin is a disease with eternal consequences. And rightly so. For in James chapter 1 verse 15 we read, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That is physical death, but also eternal death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth physical death and eternal death. I want to tell you something. If you're not saved, then you are spiritually sick and eternally condemned. You're sick with sin and you're also condemned to death. That is eternal death. That is the end result of sin. Take heed, because this sickness of sin, this sickness is unto death. And neither man nor religion can save you. Neither man nor religion can heal you of this disease of sin. But thank God, Christ can. What man cannot do, Christ can do. And he can do so through the blood that he has shed for us upon the cross of Calvary. In 1 John chapter 1 and the verse 7 it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It is the blood that cleanses us, and Christ forgives us. You can be healed from this disease of sin. Oh, today come to Christ and be healed. Repent of your sin and call upon the Lord to forgive your sin and to save you. And the Bible assures us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. David, he was given healing. But then secondly, we notice that the Lord gave him help. David says in Psalm 40 verse 2, he, that is the Lord, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And then he says, the Lord set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. It was the Lord who helped him, and the Lord who saved him. It was the Lord who lifted him. It was the Lord who delivered him. It was the Lord who established his goings. The Lord helped David in his time of trouble. Can I say this? When the Lord saves us, he doesn't leave us to make our own way after that, no. Not at all, for in Isaiah 42 in the verse 6, the Lord says, I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee. In Hebrews 13 in the verse 5, the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can I say to you tonight, when we come to Christ and receive him as our Savior, we begin a journey with the Lord. And the Lord will never leave us. He has promised that he won't. However, it is possible for us to leave the Lord. And sadly, many do. And they backslide. And they live a life of God's second best. And for all the pleasures of the world, they cannot find real joy. They cannot find peace. They cannot find contentment in the things of the world. You know, I wonder, is that you? Maybe you're here, but you're backslidden from God. You've left the Lord behind in your journey. And now when you need help, there's no one to turn to. No one to help you. If so, get right with God. Go back to where you left him. And start afresh with the Savior. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. To be healed from sin. But also to be helped of God. A lady went into hospital one time for a very serious throat operation. When the minister called to visit her, he asked her, "How do you cope?" And she told him, "I knew that I was facing a very serious operation and that I could live or die. So when they came to take me into theatre, I rolled over in my bed and I prayed, 'Lord, I am ready to die and to go to be with thee, but I'm ready to live and to serve thee.' And thus I left it with the Lord. I turned everything over to him. And when I did, the peace came into my soul and I was not afraid." I tell you, the world cannot give help or peace like that when you need it. The world can't help you in situations like that, which are often overwhelming. But the Savior can, and the Savior will. He will heal you, and he'll help you. But then thirdly, the Lord gave David hope. The Lord had taken David out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. I tell you, when David was down there, he had no hope. Down in the pit, he had no future. And when the Lord took him out of that place and set his feet upon a rock, he gave him both. He gave him hope and he gave him a future. In fact, he gave him hope for the future. So much so that we find David rejoicing and singing. He has put a new song, he said. Notice that he wasn't singing down in the horrible pit. He wasn't singing when he was in the miry clay, but he's singing now, for the Lord has saved him and the Lord has delivered him. I tell you, a man cannot live without hope, no more than a car can drive without fuel. For if a man looks ahead to tomorrow and has no hope, then that man might as well be dead. He has nothing worth living for. He has no reason to live. For as Solomon says, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Can a man find hope in money and possessions? No, not at all. For both money and possessions are easy lost. Can a man find real hope in his friends? No. They might be there for a while, but they will eventually forsake him. Can a man find real hope in good living or in his church or in ceremony? No, not there either. There's no hope in any of these that will ease and satisfy a man's soul. For when has a man had enough? When has a man done enough? Real hope can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us hope for tomorrow and hope for eternity. We sometimes sing that little hymn, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." Because he lives, we have hope for tomorrow. The hymn writer could pen these words of testimony himself and say, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Now I wonder, are you upon that solid rock? That rock is Christ. Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you standing upon him? Or what are you depending on? Your hope for the future upon, and whom are you trusting for eternity? Can I say to you, as we come to a close, be wise and put your faith and hope in Christ. He will give you healing. He will give you help. He will give you hope. And praise God, after death, He will give you heaven and home. May God bless His word to our hearts. Let's just unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the word of testimony that David has left for us. And O God, we thank Thee that Thou art the one who can deliver the hopeless and the helpless. And for those who are sick with sin, dead in trespasses and iniquities, we thank Thee, O God, that Thou can give healing. To those who are in despair, we thank Thee that Thou canst give hope. And Lord, we thank Thee that whenever we put our trust in Thee, Thou dost give us help to walk with Christ our Saviour. Bless Thy word to many hearts, and be with us, Lord, as we seek to live and to serve Thee, for we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.